Amen. Good morning.
Amen.
Good to see each one of you here this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. So before we begin, let's just all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, all your blessings on us. And Father, we just pray that you just help us this morning as we look into your word. Lord, bless each part of the service. Bless the Sunday school classes. Lord, bless the singing and the worship. Blessed Brother Wade as he comes to bring the word to us, Lord. We pray for Brother Manuel, Lord, as he's ministering this morning. And Lord, there's many others, those that are sick. And we just pray that you just touch them. And Lord, we just commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, I don't have any slides, but just want to read a few scriptures this morning. I entitled this, The God of Miracles. And reading from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto him, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And Matthew 24:24 says, For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And I wanted to read that this morning. And the question is, you know, does God still do miracles? And I was reading some commentary online, and I always enjoy reading what people have to say, and it's very, very interesting what people have to say about the scripture, and just do a little research, and it's very interesting how people have framed this question. And when you get into looking at numerous things that people wonder, you know, does God still do miracles? Well, I was reading a commentary from this lady. She was given a testimony, and she was talking about, you know, the person that, if you ask, you know, does God still do miracles? Well, if God's ever done a miracle for you, you know God does miracles,
right?
Because you've experienced it.
Amen.
And she was talking about the sovereignty of God, because she was talking about things that had happened in her life, and why things happen the way they do. And part of her testimony that she was giving was that she had been in a serious car wreck, and she should have died, and she didn't. And she survived this car crash, and a lot of people thought, you know, that she wouldn't make it, but she did. And there was a lot of things that just the hand of God in her life that saved her through all of that. And she's like, well, God does miracles. Yes, because that's what the miracle was, that she survived. But later in life, she went through a sexual assault, and she had to deal with a lot of trauma from all that. And, you know, everybody's like, well, why did God do one and not do the other? And she's like, well, God's sovereign. And you just have to put your trust in God, and, you know, all things work together for the good. We don't understand why things happen the way they do. But she said, I got total trust in God, because he brought me through one. He brought me through the other one.
Right.
And brought me through this other one. And so, you know, everybody's like, well, that's not a very loving God. Well, sometimes we don't realize what the love of God is. To understand that God allows us to go through these things. And that's the expression of his love to us, to show us that we can overcome.
Right.
You know, because there's many people that go through a lot of different things, and, you know, he never promised us a flowery bed of ease. He never promised us that everything was going to just come up roses and sunshine all the time. But he shows us his love through us, because when we go through these hard times and these trials, and we make mistakes, and we get punished, we go through different things. But you know what? He brings us through every one of those.
Amen.
And so it's like, does God do miracles? Yeah, because I'm a miracle. This being here this morning, I'm a miracle.
Amen.
When you look back over the things that you've been and went through in life, I'm a miracle. It's a miracle I'm here this morning, and what God's done for me, that's a miracle. And you can't, whether people believe it or not, but I know what God's done for me, and that's a miracle, and you can't take that away from me. I'm not shaken in that. But you know, I was reading through this, and you look at some of these, some of the commentaries and people, you know, they, Brother Branham was talking about, they said, you know, the days of miracles is past, the days of miracles is past. And, you know, they argue about a lot of the things that's taken place. But, you know, the scripture tells us you know, that God is the same. And in Hebrews 13, it says, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when you look at it, there's people, you know, they've went through things, and God has leadership in the church and in the body, and you see the things that people have went through. And, you know, you see their conversation. You understand the testimony that people have. And it's not just what people preach, but it's the life that they live. And you see what God has done for them. And it says, considering the end of their conversation. Because everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that brings forth is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is our testimony. That's what the Word of God is. That's what we preach. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when you take it back to the Word of God, whatever He was, He's the same today as wherever He was before, He is the same today. He doesn't change. He said, I'm God, and He said, I change not. You know, He doesn't have a new thought. He doesn't gain learning. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows every step that you're going to take. And you know, you think about all of that, you know, all the things that are created, how everything operates. We see the world in the condition that it's in, not the way God created it, but the way that man's made it. But when you see what God's created and you see how everything works today, He spoke all this into existence. And it works exactly the same way. And all this works. And you know, scientists have been studying all of this for years, centuries, trying to understand. And they're still learning. They're still learning things all about God's creation. But you know, all the things that are in today that man is still trying to figure out, and man is still learning, God knew all of that before He spoke the first word to create any of that. He already knew everything. He already knew the end from the beginning. So when He started, there was no new thoughts. And you know, the thing is He thought of you. He thought of me. He knew what was going to take place. He knew that you'd be an overcomer. He knew that you'd be sitting here this morning. And you look at all the things and say, so if we understand that how all this come about, the God of the miracles that works, He set all this in motion, all this is taking place today, it should give us great confidence to realize that what God's done for us. Right. You know, God did not, as the scripture tells us, God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Right.
Because if you just sit down sometimes and start meditating on the goodness of God and the things of God, you know what? It builds your faith. Many times, you know, Satan just wants to sit on your shoulder and talk to you and tell you about how terrible things are. And, you know, it's always gloom, despair, and agony on me. But when you begin to meditate on the things of God, it's you know, you can't. Just, I mean, it overwhelms you sometimes.
Right.
Because he spoke individually to me.
Right. Yes.
I can't tell you what God said to any of the rest of you, but I know what he said to me. And you know, it's Brother Branham says, you know, when you receive a revelation, it don't exalt you, it makes you humble. When you realize that the God of all creation come and spoke to you and brought you where you are today, birthed you into the kingdom of God, it's a wonderful thing to me to think about that. And whether things go the way I want them to or not, I know that it's in God's plan. And I got confidence in the way that God has things to work, and things don't go the way we want them to. And it's like, well, you know, we can always sit around and just, I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why that happened. But you know, the thing is if we don't have challenges, if we don't have problems, if we don't have these things come our way, then you know what? If we never had to go through any of those things, we'd never see the power of God in our life. Because you know what, if nobody ever got sick, then you know what, we'd never know that God was a healer. Now we could read about it. And if there was not challenges and problems and things look, when there was no way, when it looks all impossible, when everybody around you tells you there's no way, you can't overcome this, when everything is looking so bleak, so dark, but he's the God of miracles. If you never went to that place, you'd never know that God could do those things. Because here in 1 Corinthians, we read in the scripture, and it says, because in the body of Christ, it's been given to us, he said, to some, they work miracles. Some have the gift of wisdom, a gift of knowledge, gift of tongues, gift of miracles. We have the gift of discernment of spirits. See, if all those things hadn't taken place, you know, we wouldn't know these things. But it says, see, the same spirit that works in each one of us, we have that same ability.
Right.
Because if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, the same one that dwells in me and dwelled in Brother Branham, then you know what? If it's the same Holy Spirit that wrote the scripture that we've seen all the way through the church, all of those same people, well, if he spoke to them and led them, then you know what? Then when you come to a situation, then the same spirit that they had back there that discerned the same spirit. No matter how close Satan came, when the false came in with the true, and Jesus said that it would be so close in the last days that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible.
Right.
That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same one that started all this, he's the same one with you this morning. And he will, and through him, I don't have the intelligence of myself, but through that same spirit, we discern the false and the true. And by that, we discern what is truth and what's not. And then by that, we overcome. To overcome is to recognize Satan and all his tactics. That same spirit that dwells in you, that dwelled in him. He said, because the same spirit, he said, howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he said, I'll lead you and guide you into all truth. That's a promise to you. That's an individual promise. Sometimes the problem is we don't stay where we need to. Sometimes we get in a hurry. But sometimes the problem is we don't sit there waiting on the Lord for him to come speak to us. Because we get too frantic in situations. We get too worried in situations. But you know what? If he's the same back there, he's the same today.
Amen.
And he has a word for us this morning. When I come to church, I don't always get... Because, you know, sometimes I come to church and it's just like, maybe it's me, but I come to church and it's like, it's just another service. And, you know, it's like, I don't feel like I get a lot out of it sometimes. And then other times, you know what? I know God, he walked down the aisle. He come right where I was at. I don't know if anybody else got anything or not, but I know he talked to me. And the only thing he didn't do was call my name. Because that's your day. Because he come to speak to you. and say, I don't know if anybody else got anything, but I know he was talking to me. He may not call your name, but you know it's for you.
Right.
Amen. And so that's the way it is that God speaks to each one of us. And so these are the things that God has done, the miracles that take place. So, but you know, many people, when they look at in the scripture here, when, you know, they say, well, the days of miracles is past. And, you know, it's interesting. I just want to read and talk about this just for a few minutes. But, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9 through 13, it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. He said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And you know, here's Paul speaking, and this is one of the scriptures that a lot of people use when they say, well, the days of miracles is past. The days of miracles is past. And they said, well, Paul said, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. He said, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And, you know, lots of times they'll say, well, just waiting on the word of God was to come. The early church, the apostles were writing the scripture. God began to manifest in each one of them's life. And Jesus came and God, you know, God was manifesting and showing who the Messiah was. Jesus came. He done all these miracles. He took, you know, he discerned and he done all these things. And there in John, he said, the works that I do, shall you do also? And greater works than these shall you do? And he said, well, this is to the early, to the disciples, to the apostles. And here they come to bring all this. But when that which is perfect is come, then all this is going to be done away with. And so we're doing away with all this. And, you know, so, you know, there's people that say, well, the perfect that came was the word of God. Well, when the word came and the New Testament and all of the scripture was written, then that which was in part was done away with. So, you know, they say, well, we finished. The days of miracles is over with. We don't have to do, you know, God doesn't do any of these anymore because we have the word. And so, you know, most people say, well, this, you know, we don't see these things, or, you know, we're as things continue. But we realize that if you look some of this stuff, when you talk about the perfect, yeah, we do have the perfect word. But the problem is the opening of the word came to express what was in the mind of God, and it began to unfold these things. But they began to preach to the people, and people began to see who God was through the word opening. But you know, if he done this in the past to show who he was, then they're saying, well, he won't do that here because the word has come. Well, the ones that they received their word for their day back there, if God done miracles to prove who he was back there, then he'll do the same thing here and do miracles to show that he's the same today. And so it's like, well, the word came. Well, that's good. But it, just because the word come, it that's not the fulfillment of the word. Because just because the word was written down in letter form and the apostles began to speak the scriptures, but that wasn't what God the full expression of it. That's not what he desired to have.
That's right.
Because if you just had the word, where you just received the word, well, we got the Bible. But it's not just having a word written down and not just knowing what it says and just being able to read. Because it's not us having the word, but it's having the word inside of us.
Right. Amen.
Because the word has to be planted in you and the word has to grow.
Right.
just as it did back there. Because, you know, you read these people, they talk about what took place on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, what Jesus came, and here's Jesus preaching to the disciples 3.5 years. He ministered 3.5 years, and he began to preach to the people and sowing the seed, the word of God into their lives. But you know what? It took them to go to the upper room. Because, sure, they had the word of God.
Right.
But they were ineffective with it. They had no power. They didn't have any understanding what they had.
Right.
But later on, when the Holy Spirit came and quickened that to them, then they were in effect, the Word of God made manifest.
Amen.
Then they could demonstrate the power.
Right.
And so it's the same way, and because the Word of God, if it comes to us, then that's exactly what God wants us to do, is to take the Word of God and live the Word of God. And not just try to be some kind of actor, or, you know, just some kind of put on. But you know what? If the word becomes real to you and it's a life inside of you, then it's something that you can't contain. Because if it's down on the inside, who was it? Jeremiah there said, because the way the people are, he said, I'm not going to talk about him anymore. I'm not going to share with this. You know, I'm just going to hold my peace. But you know what? He began to struggle, and he had a lot of issues. And he said it was like a fire shut up in his bones. Why? Because it was something that had to be expressed. It was something that had to be let out. And, you know, and so there was something down on the inside, and he began to express what was on the inside of him because he couldn't control it.
Right.
And it's like, you know, you can, if it's down on the inside, if that's who you are, then, you know, you can play the part for so long, but you know what? Who you are truly is going to come, be made manifest. It's going to come out.
Amen.
Because, you know, if we are who we are, like Sister Regina, you know, there's only one Sister Regina. I love her.
Right.
But, you know, there's something about, you know, who she is. She's exciting. You get around her, you start to feel that.
Right.
You know, I wish other people had that.
Right.
But, you know, some people aren't made that way.
Right.
But, you know, you're not going to just be like this all the time. Because, you know what, that's who you are. That's your nature. Well, if you have the nature of Jesus Christ, there's something on the inside of you. You're not going to keep quiet.
Right.
Because you know what? There's you go to work sometimes, and there's people that say things, and you just walk right past. You don't say nothing to people. And it's like, I could say something, but I ain't. But you know what? There's times when something gets said, and you know what? You just do a 180. And all of a sudden, it's like turning on a valve, and it's all coming out.
Right. Amen.
Right. I had a man one time, and he carried a lot of anger and resentment because of things that happened in his past, and he had went through the death of a child, and a lot of things that happened, and he struggled with a lot of things, had a lot of anger. But you know, I'd listened to him say a lot of different things over the years, and I didn't say nothing. And, you know, I just try to every now and then. But one day, he and I were down there talking, and he said something. And, man, let me tell you what. The Spirit came down. It's just me and him standing there. And it was just me and him standing there, and I preached to him. And I told him, I said, David laid before God when he had a child that was dying. And I said, he stayed out there all day long, didn't eat, didn't wreck anybody, stayed out there until that child died.
Right.
And everybody thought, well, why did David get up from that, wash yourself, worship God, and go eat?
Right.
Because he realized that at that point in time, there was nothing else that he could do. He had laid before God, he had sought God, but you know what? He took the child.
Right.
But you know what? He gave thanks to God.
Yes.
God's sovereign.
That's right.
He got up, and they was like, well, why did you come in there? He said, because I've done what I could. He said, I can't bring him to me. But he said, I can go to him.
Right.
And I told him, I said, listen, you can carry that anger all you want to. You can say, why did God allow this happen or that happen? But I said, I'm going to tell you this morning that God allowed these things to happen, and we don't understand them. And you know, but God is the God of healing. He's the God of deliverance. He's the God of comfort. He's the God of peace. All that we have need of, he's our God.
Amen.
And he said, and I told him, I said, listen, I said, you cannot bring him back to you, but are you going to go to where he is? I said, when your small son passed away, I said, are you going to go to where he is? I said, because one of these days you're going to have to give an account for yourself.
That's right. Amen.
And so the thing is, do we put our trust in God? Because you said, well, I used to go to church, I used to love the Lord, all these type things. I said, who changed? God didn't.
That's right. Amen.
And I said, how many times has people come across your path and spoke to you? I said, listen, God's only obligated to us one time.
Right.
And then after that, God's not obligated to speak to us anymore.
Right. That's right.
But God's speaking to you. And I love him. He's still a friend of mine. But you know, I see the situation that he goes through. But you know what? I still pray for him.
Amen.
But you know, God's only obligated to us one time, that God will reach out to us, and then we've got to accept it or turn it down.
Right.
Are we going to follow what God has for us? Because whatever situations we go through, he's the same. And if he's done it for one, he'll do it for another.
Right.
I'm gonna skip some of this because I'm running out of time this morning, but you realize who you are, what God's done for you, then all you got to do is put your trust in him.
Right.
This is from the message, the arrow of God's deliverance shot from a bow, and I'm not going to get to everything this morning. See you. Brother Bram was talking about the day. He said, it's the same way it is today with our education, all our theology, with all our church denomination things. We fasten people up by telling them that the days of miracles is past. There's no such thing today. They can't be healed. There's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All this, they say, is nonsense. He said, what good did it do to preach them the Bible if you're going to keep them caged up and say that God left us many years ago? If he ain't the same God in deliverance back there as he is now, as he was now, as he was back there, he isn't worth nothing to us. He's a dead feature. He's some historical something. He said, how are you going to get a man warm by a painted fire? The man would freeze to death. You'd say, well, brother, look at this nice fire burning. It burnt 2,000 years ago. What good is it going to do this man standing here freezing? Sure, if Jesus Christ raised from the dead and said, I'll be with you always to the end of the world. He said, what good does it do to teach him in some historical fact if you can't prove that he's the same today? Amen. If he isn't the same tonight in everything he was back there, he isn't God. Amen. So all the things that we've, all of our studying and learning, if he's not the same that he was back there, if he delivered somebody back there, if he can't do the same thing today, you can't see that the God that was back there, all the miracles that took place, he's the same one this morning.
Yes.
And if you have a need this morning, then you know what? Today's the day,
yes, sir,
of miracles. He's here this morning. Well, that's a wonderful thing when we read the scripture and all the things that took place many years ago, what God done back there. He's here this morning to do the exact same thing.
That's right. Amen.
But the question is, do you and I have that faith?
Yes,
Do we have the desire? Because, Lord, help me, Lord, help my unbelief this morning.
Amen.
I want to have all of my doubts.
Yes.
I want to doubt my doubts. I want to believe what I believe this morning.
Right.
I want God to have his way this morning.
Yes.
Because if he's the same, I want people to see that the same God that was back there is still alive today.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We'll have the musicians come. But I want God to be real in our lives, that when people look around, there's an old song many years ago, and I love it. It says, when they looked, they beheld him. When I spoke, they could hear him. When I walked, my every footstep led them all to Calvary. He said, let others seek worldly fame, but when someone speaks his name, let them recall they first saw him in me. I want the world to see Jesus Christ in me.
Right.
Amen. God bless you this morning.